بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسند المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة البردزبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب ما يكره من الخداع في البيع. Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, and all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, today we shall be discussing three issues. The first is, how can one save himself from becoming a victim of deception or bearing a loss in his dealings and his transactions? The second, what is the concept of establishing bazaars, marketplaces, fairs, souqs, etc. in Islam? And third, some of our character and conduct and our attitude in marketplaces. The first hadith, the first topic, saving ourselves from becoming a victim of deception and bearing losses in our transactions. The narration is narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He says, أَنَّ رَجُلًا ذَكَرَ لِلنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ يُخْدَعَ فِي الْبُيُوعِ فَقَالَ إِذَا بَايَعْتَ فَقُلْ لَا خِلَابَتَ. The background of this narration is, there was one Sahabi, Hazrat Hibban ibn Munqiz radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He liked to do business. And every time he did business, he used to bear a loss. On numerous occasions, his family advised him not to do business. The purpose of doing business is to gain some profit. And here, he is bearing losses. So repeatedly the family informed him not to do business until they took him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, that what's the point of doing business if you are going to bear a loss? So he told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inni la asbir anil bay. I can't bear not doing transactions. It's in me. I like to do dealings, I like to do buying and selling and doing transactions. That's when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him this advice that's mentioned in this hadith. The translation of the hadith is, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, one person told to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is being deceived in transactions. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised him, إِذَا بَايَعْتَ. When you transact with someone, then tell your counterpart, La khilabata, that I'm doing the transaction on condition there's no deception in the transaction. This hadith has been translated and interpreted in two ways. There are two concepts in Sharia. One is called khiyarul ghaban, the option of saving yourself from becoming a victim of deception. In other words, Nabiyyu Kareem Sahasam advised the Sahabi that tell your counterpart that when you're dealing with him, if later on you come to know that you are being deceived, you have the right to cancel the transaction. Some fuqaha have explained it that if as a seller or as a purchaser, if you are being deceived to 1/3 and more of the transaction, then you have the right of canceling the transaction because you entered into a transaction with a condition that the person must not deceive you. And you have become a victim of deception by that person's statement. So he led you into a deception and therefore you have the right to cancel the transaction. According to other ulama, this hadith has been translated as khiyar-e-shart. And this is in another hadith wherein Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised the Sahabi, say, la khilabata, that I'm doing this transaction on condition that I'm not going to be deceived. Wali al-khiyar thalasatu ayyam. That I have the option for 3 days. In other words, that I'm doing this transaction with you, whether the seller, whether the purchaser, but within 3 days, I will have the right to determine whether I want to conclude the transaction or not. In the 3 days, you can see whether there's a loss or whether there's a benefit for you. And as we discussed before, in khiyar al-shart, it is not only confined to 3 days, it could be any mutually agreed period. And according to that, if a person have concluded a transaction, and after that, within the period of time, he feels that he has been deceived, he feels that he became a victim of deception, he has the right to cancel the transaction. Both these concepts, whether it is the right of deception or whether it is a right of choice, khiyar-e-shart, both of them will be governed according to the laws that the fuqaha have stated in khiyar-e-shart and khiyar-ul-ghabn. The next hadith, Babu ma zukira fil aswaq. This chapter is about bazaars, marketplaces. The reason Imam Bukhari rahmatullah narrates this chapter is that in one hadith, one sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, ayyul biqai khair, ayyul biqai shar. Which piece of earth on the ground is the best? And which piece of earth is the worst? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, I don't have the answer. I don't know the answer. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam come, I will inquire from Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam the question that was asked by this sahabi. Which piece of land is the best and which piece of land is the worst? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, mal mas'ulu anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'il. The one that has been asked doesn't know more than the person that's asking the question. But I will ask Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. On another occasion, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, that I've been very close to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. I haven't been more closer than that. And between me and Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, there were 70,000 curtains of noor and light. Then Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave the answer that the best piece of earth is the masjid. Where a person worships Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, remembers Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, expresses obedience to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the worst piece of earth are bazaars and marketplaces. Now from this hadith, one understands that marketplaces are not good places. So you're not supposed to be establishing marketplaces, bazaars, souks, fairs, etc. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi removes that misconception. And he explains that doing business is a basic necessity of life. You have to do transactions. And it is permissible to establish marketplaces, business places, where people could conduct their transactions and fulfill their necessities of life. However, there are certain adabs, certain etiquettes for people in the marketplaces, in the souks, in the fairs, etc. And then Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi mentions 5 ahadiths under this chapter. We will mention each one of these 5 hadiths and we will learn some character and some conduct, what we should display in the marketplaces and how we should conduct ourselves in the marketplaces. The first hadith, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi mentions, it is narrated from Nafi' ibn Jubair ibn Mut'im. He says, حدثتني عائشة قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يغزو جيش الكعبة فإذا كانوا ببيداء من الأرض يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم. قالت قلت يا رسول الله كيف يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم وفيهم أسواقهم ومن ليس منهم؟ قال يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم ثم يبعثون على نياتهم. The translation of the hadith is, Nafi' ibn Jubair ibn Mut'im says, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala narrated to me, and she said to me, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, a time will come that an army will proceed towards the Kaaba Sharif in Makkatul Mukarrama to attack the Kaaba Sharif in Makkatul Mukarrama. When they will be in an open piece of land, or in a piece of land that is called Baida, an area between Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara, then this entire army, the front and the back, or the beginning and the ending, they all will be swallowed by the earth. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had a question to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, Ya Rasulullah, how will all the people in the front and the back, or the people in the beginning and the ending, all will be swallowed by the earth? Why should that happen? Whereas among them, there are those people that have only come to take part in the bazaars and the market-related activities. The intention is not to attack the Kaaba Sharif. Why should they be swallowed by the earth? And there are those people that are not from among them. That means there are certain people that are prisoners. There are certain people that are taken as captives. They are not from among the army. They are there against their wishes. They are innocent people. Why should they be punished? Upon that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the people in the beginning and the ending, or the people in the front and the back of the army, every single person will be swallowed by the earth. Then, on the day of Qiyamah, they all will be resurrected according to the intention. If somebody was sincere and honest, on the day of Qiyamah, will be resurrected as a sincere person. If anybody was guilty, had a bad intention of wanting to attack the Kaaba Sharif, he will be resurrected in the court of Allah according to that. From this hadith, we understand an important conduct in the marketplace. In the marketplaces, it's generally known for violations of the laws of the Sharia, for vice and evil, among which is intermingling of sexes. Free talk. People go to bazaars, marketplaces, fairs, souks. They go and they're free talking with each other. No consideration of the laws of hijab and parda. Free intermingling, laughing, joking with each other. Complete violation of the laws of hijab. Whereas that is completely haram and prohibited in the Sharia. Second, sometimes there are nasheeds being played with musical backgrounds, and this also completely haram and prohibited. There is no concept of nasheed with musical background in Sharia. Music is completely haram and it is prohibited. Third, sometimes in these kind of fairs and souks, we will find that women making announcement with alluring voices, talking and interacting with men. All these actions are completely haram and prohibited. Now, the fundamental principle of the Sharia is, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells in the Quran al-Kareem, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاسًا. Stay away from such fitna. When that incurs the wrath of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the punishment won't only come upon a group of people, it'll come upon everyone that is there. So take into consideration the various violations in the bazaars, in fairs, in souks, marketplaces. If there's a need for a person to go there, fulfill your need and come out from there. Don't go there just for enjoyment and entertainment, because the various violations of the Sharia that take place there, what if that will incur the wrath of Allah and the punishment of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will come in that place. So therefore, we deduce an important point from this hadith. Nabi Kareem Sahib himself mentioned that in this army, there'll be certain people that are innocent. Sometimes innocently, you're going to the marketplaces to do your business that is trade. That is perfectly permissible, but do not go there unnecessarily. And should you go there, come out from that place as soon as possible. Second hadith, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة أحدكم في جماعة تزيد على صلاته في سوق في سوقه وبيته بضع وعشرين درجة وذلك بأنه إذا توضأ فأحسن الوضوء ثم أتى المسجد لا يريد إلا صلاة لا ينهزه إلا صلاة لم يخطو خطوة إلا رفع له بها درجة وحدت عنه بها خطيئة والملائكة تصلي على أحدكم ما دام في صلاة في مصلى الذي يصلي اللهم صل عليه اللهم ارحمه ما لم يحدث فيه ما لم يؤذي فيه. Translation of the hadith is Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala narrated says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the salat of one of you in jama'ah with congregation, the reward of it will increase upon the person's personal individual salah which he performed in the bazaar, in the marketplaces, and the salah that he performed alone in his house, that salah that he performed with congregation is multiplied 25 times. And in explaining this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a person makes wudu, he purifies his wudu. Then he comes to a masjid. And when he comes to a masjid, nothing jolts him. He has no intention but salah. He only left home with the intention of performing salah, and nothing jolts him, nothing spurs him to leave the home but salah. He does not take a single step, but in exchange of every step, Allah Ta'ala will elevate his status. In exchange of every step, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will forgive his sins. And whilst he is in the masjid, the malaika will make dua upon him in that place where he is performing salah. The dua of the malaika is of the person in the masjid. Allahumma salli alayhi. Oh Allah, have rahmat, have mercy upon him. Oh Allah, have mercy upon him. This, the angels continue making dua until the person does not break his wudu and until the person does not inconvenience anyone in the masjid. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah presented this hadith here in the context of the discussion of our conduct in the marketplaces. Sometimes when we are doing business, we are so engrossed in business that we compromise on our salah. And not doing business, we compromise in our salat, continue with our business, the namaz with jamaat is finished, and then we read namaz all by ourselves. And then we deprive ourselves of the sawab of reading namaz with congregation. The purpose of business is for a person to make some kind of profit. But what intelligence there is in a person where you go for a temporary profit and you bear a permanent loss of the akhirat. Therefore, it is very, very important while doing our muamalat, while doing our business, we should always be conscious of performing our salat with jama'ah. And Allah Ta'ala refers to a sahaba in the Quran Kareem, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ صَلَاةِ. Sahaba also did business, but when it came to salah, they were not unmindful. They did not compromise with the salah for the benefit of the prophets in the business. Third hadith, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi quotes, أن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في السوق. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم was in a marketplace. From this we understand, Nabi Kareem also went to the marketplaces. فقال رجل يا أبا القاسم. Whilst Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم was there, one person, he called out and he said, Oh Abu al-Qasim. This was the second name or the kunniyat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which were the common practice among the Arabs. They would have their name and then they would have a second name. فَالْتَفَتَ إِلِيهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu looked at that person that called him, called Abu al-Qasim. فَقَالْ إِنَّمَا دَعَوْتُ هَذَا. Nabi Kareem looked at the person that told, Ya Abu al-Qasim. Nabi Sallam thought this person is calling him. Then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then that person sahabi told, that no, I called another person, I didn't mean you, Ya Rasulullah. So, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sammu bi ismi, wa la takannau bi kunyati. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised that look, name people with my names, Muhammad, but do not call anybody with my kunyat, or what we call the second name, the Abu al-Qasim. This was confined to a lifetime of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the reason for this is to avoid confusion. At the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nobody would call Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Muhammad. The only person that will call Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Muhammad was Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Otherwise, even the Jews at the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would call Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Abul Qasim. Sahaba would call Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Ya Nabi Allah or Ya Rasul Allah. So as far as the kunyat Abul Qasim is concerned, there was the, to avoid doubt, maybe the Jews used to call to avoid confusion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to mention, don't call me by my kunyat, but yes, you would keep name on my name, Muhammad. But this was confined at the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The fourth hadith is similar to the third hadith, and we will now proceed with the fifth hadith. An Abi Huraira Ad-Dawsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في طائفة النهار. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said on one occasion, during midday, Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم came out of his home. لا يكلبني ولا أكلمه. Nabi صلى was completely silent, quiet. Nabi Sallallahu would not talk to me, I would not talk to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but I was with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hatta ata suqa bani Qaynuqa. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to a marketplace called Banu Qaynuqa. Fajalasa bifina'i baytika Fatima. According to the commentator of the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went elsewhere, and on his return, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, and he sat on the outer part of the house of Fatima, radiallahu ta'ala anha. فقال نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم came outside the house and he called out أثم لُكَ لُكَ refers to a small child, and some of the commentators of the hadith mention لُكَ refers to a pet word for the child. Normally every language have their own pet word for children. For example, in Gujarati we speak for a small child, we say where's the bachu, or in the Urdu language we say where's munna. So in the Arabic language, referring to the pet name for the child, where's Luka. So Nabi Kareem Sahib referred to his grandchildren, Hadha Hassan and Hadha Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So hafahabasathu shay'an. Hadha Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, Hadha Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Hadha Hassan and Hussein, she withheld Hadha Hassan and Hadha Hussein. فَذَنَنْتُ أَنَّهَا تُلْبِسُهُ سِخَابًا أَوْ تُغَسِّدُهُ. Before she could send the children to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to the grandfather, to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she wanted them to wear sikhab. Sikhab actually refers to something like a necklace that used to give out a fragrance. Or maybe she withheld the children so that she could quickly wash them, bath them, make them wear good clothes and present them to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And after she had done that, فَجَاءَ يَشْتَدْ حَتَّى عَانَقَهُ وَقَبَّلَهُ. The two children of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hadha Hassan or Hadha Hussein, or both of them jointly, when they were released from their mother and they knew that their Mubarak grandfather, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is outside waiting for them, they ran and went to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam until they embraced Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or Nabi Kareem embraced them and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kissed them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then mentioned, Allahumma ahibbahu wa ahibba may yuhibbuhu. Oh Allah, you love this person. Referring to either one of the two grandchildren or both of them or everyone separately, Hassan Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and love those people, love that person that also loves him, referring to either Hassan, Hassan Hussein, or both of them, or both of them separately. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah mentioned this hadith here for one reason. Sometimes there's a need for people to stay in and around the marketplaces. The house of Hadha Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was also in the marketplaces. She was living around Banu Qaynuqa. And if you have to go to the marketplaces purely to visit family, to friends, just because it is in the marketplaces, it doesn't mean that it is prohibited. Your intention is sila rahmi. Your intention is to meet family people. The fifth hadith Imam Bukhari rahmatullah mentions, it's from Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, أَنَّمْ كَانُوا يَشْتَرُونَ الطَّعَامِ مِنَ الرُّكْبَانِ عَلَىٰ عَهْدِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says that people would purchase food. Food here refers to grains from travelers at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would actually, according to one hadith we understand, they would purchase it and at the same time they would sell it to someone else. So, فَيَبْعَثْ عَلَيْهِمْ مَنْ يَمْنَعُهُمْ أَنْ يَبِيعُوهُ حَيْثُ اشْتَرَوْهُ حَتَّى يَنْقُلُوهُ حَيْثُ يُبَاعُ الطَّعَامُ. Nabi Kareem sent some Sahaba to stop them to sell the grains at that place where they purchased it until they transfer it to that place where grains are normally sold. In other words, you purchase the grains and without taking physical, this is an expression of taking physical possession. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited that you purchase grains and without taking physical possession or take a construction possession, you should not sell the grain to someone else without having, without it coming into your possession. And the reason for that is that if you were to sell something, you must have possession of it. And then if you sell it for a profit, then that is because of the risk that it come into your possession. So from this hadith, Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Alayhi mentions some of the adabs and etiquettes of being in the marketplaces. The first hadith shows, stay away from wrong, stay away from evil practices in the marketplaces. As far as possible, stay away from those places. If you need to go there, you go there, fulfill your need, and you come out from there, and stay away from any violation of the Sharia. Second one, don't be unmindful of your salat when you are in the marketplaces. Third one, always be conscious of adab and etiquettes of Sharia and the teachings of the Sharia. The fourth one, that if there's a need for a person to go and visit someone that's staying in the marketplaces, family, friends and associates, it is perfectly permissible. And the fifth one, in your marketplaces, but tashiya muamalat, doing your muamalat completely according to Sharia, that is something that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do. People used to do business, and if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam come to know that somebody did the business against the Sharia, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would send somebody to correct the person and make the person do his muamalat according to Sharia. We make dua, Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat to practice on all the ahadiths of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.